From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Since the Stephon Clark case in South Sacramento in March, the city's police chief, Daniel Hahn, has addressed changes in policing policy. Some changes were made almost immediately. Some have been made in the months since the shooting, and others were outlined in a presentation last night to a group called the Community Police Review Commission. In our second half hour today, the chief is going to join me in the studio. We'll talk about the proposed policy changes and the Stephon Clark case. Meanwhile, wildfires, as you know, continue to be in focus at the Capitol. Lawmakers and interest groups are busy lobbying. A major environmental protest centered on climate change, forest management, and wildfire is planned for noon today at the Capitol. And then lawmakers meet again at 2 on the subject of wildfire damage and the financial responsibility for some of those damages. CalMatters journalist Laurel Rosenhall has been taking a look at the amount of money that's being spent lobbying on all kinds of issues related to wildfires. So she's joining me now. We're going to begin our hour with this conversation. Hi, Laurel. Glad to have you here.
Hi, Beth.
What prompted your focus, your reporting on the lobbying being spent on wildfires?
Well, it was a combination of, you know, just seeing what's been going on in the Capitol. It's been clear all year that this has been a huge issue for the utility companies like PG&E and the other companies that provide electricity to Californians. It's been obvious in the Capitol that they're lobbying really hard. And then the new reports came out on August 1st. And so the lobbying reports come out quarterly. The campaign finance reports came out covering the first 6 months of the year. And so it was a great time to just take a look at what the paperwork shows has been going on all year to kind of, put some numbers to what we had been seeing on the ground.
Is it specified in those reports this lobbying is related to this issue? Or how do you know when certain groups that you might not easily be able to discern are working on a certain topic?
Well, they do have to disclose in the paperwork which bills they're working on. And in the case of PG&E, they did an unusual thing in their report and specifically said that $1.1 million of the money they had spent in the second quarter this year was specifically on wildfire legislation. Usually most companies don't get that specific. But they do have to all say which bills they're lobbying on. So that allows you to kind of, have some official documentation, which I always combine with some shoe leather reporting by going into the Capitol and talking to the lobbyists about what they're working on.
Public utilities showed a big spike, so that shouldn't surprise anybody. But overall, tell me about the difference in lobbying this year.
For the utilities, it was massive. They basically doubled the amount that they spent on lobbying in the first 6 months of this year compared with the first 6 months of last year. And that was driven largely by PG&E.
But they're not the only ones.
Nope. The insurance companies have a big role in this fight, too. They're kind of the main adversaries. And so their lobbying was up by about 51%. The total amount they spent was a lot less, but they also showed a big increase.
Also in the list of those lobbying, insurers, attorneys, electrical workers unions, Everybody spending more time and money at the Capitol. And they're spending it going out to eat, drinking wine. That's a pretty interesting picture, too, isn't it?
Yeah. This is kind of part of the norm of Sacramento. But just because it's normal and just because it's legal doesn't mean that we should ignore it. And this is kind of a part of how things work. The groups that are trying to influence the legislature treat the lawmakers to all kinds of goodies. And those are reported in the lobbying reports every quarter. So, I went through the paperwork and I saw that, for example, PG&E took Senator Anthony Cannella and six of his staff members to a Giants game in May. Then in July, he gets appointed to this wildfire committee, and now he's going to be, a key decision maker. He's a Republican from Ceres. PG&E took Senator Bill Dodd out for breakfast earlier this year. None of these are the amounts of money that I think are going to like make or break a decision for any of them. But it does show you the way that these companies foster relationships with our elected officials who are supposed to make their decisions in the best interest of the public.
Since you're talking about PG&E money, you noted that there was one lawmaker that turned down money from PG&E. Will you explain that situation?
Yeah, that was interesting. In the campaign finance reports, I saw that PG&E had given $1,000 to the reelection campaign of Assemblyman Jim Wood. And he returned the money just a couple weeks later. That happens every now and then, that a lawmaker or a politician returns a campaign contribution, but it doesn't happen all that often. And he declined to talk to me about why he returned the money, but he represents the Santa Rosa area, including the neighborhoods that were completely destroyed last year in the Wine Country fires. And he's been really pushing back on PG&E in these hearings or on the whole idea of why do we need to change the liability laws now when we don't even have all the information? Because even though a lot of the CAL FIRE investigations are now complete, the investigation into that Tubbs fire, which is the one that was so deadly last year in Santa Rosa, is still hanging out there incomplete. And he's been saying, you know, why should we make a major policy change until we know what made that fire happen?
You're listening to Cal Matters reporter Laurel Rosenhall, and we'll link a copy of her story to our webpage. We're talking about the utilities lobbying for change, but there are advocacy groups on behalf of the victims, people who lost and had buildings, businesses, homes, even lives lost during the fires. So these campaign finance reports tell an interesting story about the funding behind those groups, too.
Yeah, the victims group is called Up From the Ashes, and it is a coalition of different businesses and homeowners and local governments who have lost property in the fires. And what was interesting was seeing that where their money comes from. It's basically all from lawyers and law firms that are suing the utilities. So there's a lot of very intense business ramifications from these wildfires that is driving all this lobbying in the Capitol. And obviously, the human toll of these fires is paramount, but the business decisions are really driving a lot of political activity.
Is there an emphasis on one party or another in terms of lobbying?
Not at all. That's the funny thing when you look at these. I mean, for folks who are not involved in politics might think that, one party or the other is beholden to certain interest groups. In this particular fight, these groups are looking to shape decisions, and they are applying their tools of influence on both parties. So they don't really play political favorites. They seem to migrate toward wherever there's power. So, PG&E and Edison both gave six-figure contributions this year to the California Democratic Party and the California Republican Party. A lot of these companies, they give major campaign donations to dozens of legislators who are already in office from both parties, and they also donate to various kind of PACs and other campaigns that elect new members from both parties.
So you've covered the Capitol for a while, and to some extent there has been wildfire-related lobbying. This year showed a spike. Now all of a sudden we're having the fire season that we have. We've had three plus huge wildfires. So can you almost forecast that this is going to be a huge and growing area of lobbying activity at the Capitol for at least however long it is until the fire picture shifts in the state?
For sure, for the next 3 weeks of the legislative session, because they will be done at the end of August, I would say wildfire is going to be the most intensely lobbied issue for the next 3 weeks. And how much that continues into next year will probably be largely dependent on what decisions do or don't get made in the next 3 weeks. The power companies are really concerned about the liability laws, and they're pushing very hard to change the liability laws in a way that would basically put less liability on them in the case of wildfires that involve electrical power lines or other kind of electrical equipment. And if that doesn't happen this year, then I wouldn't be surprised if that issue kind of spills over into next year. But, you know, I think there's going to be all kinds of other issues that will be lobbied related to the management of the forests and the 911 system and all kinds of insurance issues. I mean, these are all fallout of the wildfires of last year that have been percolating this year. Some of those bills will get passed. Some of them will get killed and probably be reintroduced next year. So I do think that, you know, as Californians are dealing with these horrific wildfires, our representatives are going to be dealing with the ramifications as well.
Is there time between now and the 31st of August for some sort of policy change to happen? Is this legislation going to move through? And I guess I'm asking you for a forecast, which I know you don't like to do, but just from watching the committee, what do you expect?
I think something's going to happen because there's just a lot of pressure on them to do something. But whether that something would be loosening the liability laws, I wouldn't right now hedge a bet. Real question is how much Governor Jerry Brown puts his own political capital into that issue. He has proposed loosening the liability laws in a way that would be favorable to the utility companies, though they say it doesn't go as far as they'd like. It is kind of a move in the direction of what they want. And if he really puts his muscle behind it, then that will be a lot more influential on the legislature than if he doesn't. And so far, he hasn't personally come and testified before the committee, unlike last year when he was pushing for the cap and trade extension. He personally showed up and lobbied the committee to pass the cap and trade deal that he wanted. So I will definitely be watching in the next few weeks to see how hands-on he gets. Obviously, this is not just the end of the legislative session, but it is the last few weeks of his historic run as California governor. You know, he's wrapping up the final few weeks of being the longest-serving governor in California history. And does he want to go out on a note of kind of lobbying really hard for this utility liability issue, or does he have other fish to fry? That's the thing to watch.
Perfect place to leave it right there with a big question, actually a series of questions. Laurel, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Laurel Rosenhall is CalMatters journalist, and you can find a link to her story that, by the way, has additional photos and graphics. It's all at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.